Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a third epistle, commending Christians who were walking in the truth and showing love by their hospitality. He warned against a selfish and diversive man, whom he criticized publicly, specifically, and by name. As you continue to walk in the truth, take care to show hospitality to good teachers and avoid bad teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are welcome. This is Wretched Radio. Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Been banging this drum enough, and I will not go into another diatribe about the necessity of presenting the gospel accurately, rightly, and in its entirety. Even though I just watched several presentations at another one of these big revival events. And I'm sure the preacher, well-intentioned, but he never found the gospel. And supposedly, thousands of people got saved as they asked Jesus into their hearts. And I suspect that some people could have gotten saved because he was talking about Christian things and the Lord might have been working on somebody before they came to the event. But the entirety of the gospel, it couldn't be found. This is not an exaggeration. I watched two different gospel presentations from one of these mega events. Here was the first gospel presentation. Yeah, I'm cutting it down a lot, but nevertheless, you'll get the point. The proclamation was, hey, the gospel is really, really simple. And I'm thinking, amen. Jesus died for sinners to save us from the wrath of God. No, his simplicity was, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The gospel, it's a story of love. And it's a story of moving closer. And that's why we need to evangelize. We just take a step closer to a person and another step closer to a person, because God wants us to love him and love our neighbors. So if there's anybody here today who would like to become a Christian, just bow your head and close your eyes. Am I exaggerating to a degree? The title of the video said, this is the gospel. The gospel, there was nothing about God's wrath. There was nothing about Jesus Christ absorbing God's wrath on our behalf. There was nothing about Jesus Christ dying, rising from the dead, nothing. So I watched another one. And this one was slightly better in that it mentioned that Jesus will forgive your sins. The problem is he never got around to explaining why I need to have my sins forgiven, nor did he explain the mechanism by which that was accomplished. In other words, it was all assumed. And the folks who put these big revivals on, they claim that thousands are getting saved. And I'm sure some people do, but it's despite what is being proclaimed. I can't help but think about what would happen if we just got our act together on the gospel and thought this through and stopped being so undisciplined when it comes to presenting the gospel. I hear these gospel presentations all the time. And they're like, beam, 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 just shooting all over the place. Little of this, little of that. But nothing all that coherent, unless, of course, you already know the story. What would happen if we got the story right? Maybe people wouldn't need pacifiers from China. You say, I'm sorry, what exactly are you talking about? Headline from Newsbreak. From China to the United States, adult pacifiers are going viral. Here's why. Oh, cool. So now adults, in order to cope, they're sucking on a nook is what they're doing. They're adult pacifiers for various mental health reasons. Adults claim it's helping them provide a psychological comfort, sleep, quit smoking, reduce stress, and even help with breathing. Jimmy?
Yes?
Can I do a redo on that? Can we just... Okay, everybody just rewind the tape in your mind. So imagine what would happen if we would get the gospel right. People wouldn't need pacifiers. Okay, so that's where we are now. Okay? So China, it's this country, it's really, really big. And I don't know if you remember during the election, it was, you know, China, China, China. It looks like they've got some sort of, there's factories where they're producing plastic things. You've probably seen these plastic things before because, you know, America founded in 1776. We really do, you know, like things that are new and novel. We like to import those types of things. And so a lot of adults, they're importing those plastic things. And that's what you needed to know. And you'd say, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And if I said, well, I was sharing this story, you would rightly ask, what story are you talking about? And I would say, oh, China is importing adult pacifiers because people in America, adults, think that it's going to help them with their mental health issues. You'd go, well, why didn't you say that? Well, I did. I did say that. You'd say, no, you talked about China. You talked about plastic products and factories in 1776, but you didn't talk about importing nooks so that adults can have better breathing. Not kidding. That's what they're promising. Reduce stress. Wouldn't you be right to say you got the story wrong, dude? And if I got all exercised, I talked about you. You know, God will use it. You'd say, well, sure, he will, but that doesn't give us license for a loose presentation of the story. Jimmy, I actually think that worked out pretty well, if you don't mind me saying so. That's the best illustration I could come up with. Well, think of it. Anything, if I told you, hey, you got to get your oil changed every 5,000 miles. I think it's 5,000 now with synthetic. You got to get your... And by the way, when did oil changes get so expensive? Zoinks, Scoob. Yeah. Seriously, do you change your own oil?
It's cheaper to get someone to do it.
Oh,
it is.
Then I was shocked. I pulled into the thing. I don't want to get all mechanical on you. I pulled into the bay, and they do the car thing and they check out the odometer and all of that. Okay, so if you'd like to have the 3-year, it's $149. For the 5, it's $189. What? Have you done anything to my car? Because I'm out of here. I had to go find a bed. It's unbelievably expensive. So let's say I told you, getting your oil changed at 5,000 miles. It's the best, man. It's just really great. And your ride, oh, it's going to be smoother. You're going to be able to drive in your car, singing along to your favorite Beyonce song, getting to work on time, just oil change, 5,000 miles. You'd say, okay, well, you talked about the need of getting the oil changed, but you didn't explain why it's imperative I get my oil changed, which of course would be, if you don't, your engine is going to fall out on the ground. It's going to come to a screeching halt, and you're going to find yourself on the side of the road with mega mechanical bills. Oh, well, that's a little different now, isn't it? And to the person who would say, well, close enough. You talked about the importance of oil changes, and you mentioned some driving enhancement issues. It was close enough. You'd say, no, it's not. And the stakes of the gospel are so much higher than oil changes. These stakes are eternal. I don't know what happened to us. I don't know how we got so off the rails with this. Maybe it's an acquiescence to our seeker-sensitive culture, which says, hey, don't say anything severe, something that makes me feel bad, because I'll just cut you off and call you racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobe. But so what did we do? We dulled the sharp edges of the gospel, and with it, we've lost the beauty of the gospel. Did you see the story of the woman whose husband of 50 years, her husband was run over and they are in court. And what did the wife do? Forgave the dude.
Dina Johnson embraced Joseph Tillman. He is the man who killed her husband in a hit and run. She told him she forgives him and that God loves him. Even the judge said he had never seen anything like it.
Joey doesn't know yet how much God loves him. Joey needs healing of things in his past, as we all do. That is our heart and prayer.
Tillman pleaded guilty to charges including homicide by vehicle, DUI, and reckless driving. He was sentenced to 20 years with prison time suspended if he completes a 2-year inpatient rehab program. The Johnsons were married for 50 years.
And yet, she forgave. Now, let's just say I repeated that story. Okay, I'm going to retell you that story the way that we share the gospel. Hey, Jimmy, did you see the woman? She was so nice to this dude. And he was all crying. He was sad. He was clearly sad. Big guy. He looked kind of like a linebacker. She hugged him.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
Why?
Because she hugged him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Would you like to be hugged too? She might be willing to hug you. No. The story has no boom to it. Why? Because I removed the guts of it. The dude drinking, I think he was on drugs of some sort, kills her husband, drives away, and she forgives. Now that story is potent. Now that story is amazing that she would be willing to forgive such an evil person. We totally behead the gospel when we remove the beautiful details that Jesus died for sinners to save us from the wrath that is to come. But be thankful, because I'm not going to talk about that again. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget tariffs. Gonna have to boycott China on this one. This is Wretched Radio. Man, it's a brave new world. The Daily Mail. China developing the first pregnancy humanoid. What's a pregnancy humanoid? It'll give birth to a live baby, so they purport. That's right. We're so advanced, we don't have to actually get pregnant ourselves and carry a baby to term and deliver and, you know, bond with the child in the process. Nope. Not only can we these days hire a woman to rent her womb to carry a baby, pretty soon we're going to have a robot. And ethicists in China are debating it. And the arguments, woo, are they flimsy? Now, those people who are opposed to it, they're like, hey, whoa, wait a second. Something happens here with the baby and the mom. When they're in utero, 9 months, that's a nurturing. There's familiarity. There's the voice. Then they get born and there's mom and she smells right. And she, I recognize that voice. With a surrogate robot, which, by the way, this whole humanoid business, it's not a humanoid. You's either human or you ain't, but you're not transhuman. These things are not human by any way, shape. They're not image bearers of God. They're machines is what they are. And they're supposed to carry a baby to term, and then out comes baby, presumably, handed to the mother, and the baby, who's got apparently developed really good communication skills in the womb of a robot, said, and who are you, lady? What? You're not my mother. That's an argument against it. But the arguments for it were absolutely shocking. And you will not be shocked when you discover, you're not going to be surprised to hear, it's all about you and your convenience. After all, I think the Bible talks about this. Childbearing is really hard. And if this can allow a woman to work freely for 9 months and not suffer any vomiting in the morning, any discomfort, having to buy another wardrobe only to not have to use it again after 9 months, isn't it good that we have a robot carry our babies? It's absolutely staggering. Many people showed support for the innovation, viewing it as a means to spare women from pregnancy-related suffering, to spare women from pregnancy. Now, do we want women to suffer in pregnancy? No. Do we want women to feel pain in childbearing? No, because that's a reminder of the fall. But a woman should not have the attitude about pregnancy that she needs to be kept safe from a baby, that you need to be spared from pregnancy, that you get to carry an image bearer of God, that you get to give birth to one who has an immortal soul. Many families, writes the article from Daily Mail, many families pay significant expenses for artificial insemination only to fail. So, the development of the pregnancy robot contributes to society. Oh, well, that's building an argument off of an assumption. And by the way, this artificial insemination is very expensive and it fails. Right. How does that justify putting a baby into a robot to be used as nothing but an incubator to give birth to it? Because artificial insemination is very expensive. And by the way, if you think that was a full-throated endorsement of artificial insemination, it was not. There are strict rules from a Christian perspective. You can go use the Googler, or YouTube, whatever. You can search for the times that we've talked about it. I am not endorsing all IVF. Do I think it can possibly be done in certain circumstances without it being a sin? I do. But overall, it is mostly unbiblical attempts to become pregnant with freezer babies, these snowflake babies that will never be brought to term, that are human beings in freezers someplace. not to mention the selective reduction. Could a Christian couple who desires to have a baby because they can't implant one or two fertilized eggs and take advantage of science? I personally think so, but that is not what the industry is about. And so for them to use the argument, well, hey, it's cheaper than artificial insemination, therefore it justifies something that we just all sense is really not a very good idea. More arguments. By the way, 42% of people aged 18 to 24 said they would support growing a fetus entirely out of a woman's body. 42%. All of the arguments for it, they're pragmatic, they're self-centered. It's all about you not being inconvenienced in any way, shape, or form. What are we people going to do? We're not even needed to have babies. There's some people, this article talked about, that there are some people who are really concerned. It was some feminist. Andrea Dawkins? I think she was commenting, it's like, if men don't need women to make babies, and if men don't need women to be intimate, shall we say, what are men going to do to women? Well, you've just been kicked to the curb, lady. You've just been relegated to the sidelines. And this is happening a lot with this new technology. And I'm sorry, this horse is out of the barn. I don't see it returning anytime soon, but I can't help but wonder, what are we going to do? And I don't mean in response to this. I mean, what are we going to do? Jimmy, your job probably, if not now, could soon be done by AI.
Oh, I hope not.
And so can mine. All of these, we're a robot's going to be doing it. Oh, it was Brickpoint, Chuck Colson's minister. Here it is right here. A recent article in The Atlantic. There's a new hit band called Velvet Sundown. They got 1 million hits on Spotify. Problem is, they don't really exist. It's AI-generated music. So I guess we don't need musicians. You say, well, there's more to the persona of being a musician than just making music. Hold on, from the article, band photos, history, and song lyrics can all be found online, even though they don't exist. One of their own social media posts reads, "They said we're not real. Maybe you aren't either." So it can run its own social media. It can create these personas. This is what John Stone Street writes. Could there be a better encapsulation of our moment than this? Disembodied art. Music without a musician. Will anyone care as long as they like it? Well, I suppose people are going to start to care when they start getting displaced from their work. What are we all going to do? How are we going to fill our days? Is it going to come down? What's going to happen with economics? If machines are doing everything, they're doing all of the work, well, who's getting paid? Not many. And then what do you do to live if you don't have any money because you don't get to work because you're not needed? It's a brave new world. Speaking of music, Christianity Today did a lengthy article. They sure could have been a lot more pithy. And they could have been a lot more punchy, too. They were talking about the big money that is in Christian worship. I did not know this part. Bundling. Have you heard of bundling in real estate? I think bundle. You bundle a bunch of properties and you buy the whole shebang at kind of a discount sort of thing with the hopes of turning them around and making money. Or stocks, even you bundle a bunch of different things so that the investment is perhaps a little bit more safe. Well, that's going on with Christian music, that they're taking worship songs in particular, not the contemporary Christian music stuff, because apparently that goes on the radio. It makes very little money, but worship songs that get played week after week inside of churches, and the church has to pay royalties, they're big money. So these contemporary worship songs from Hillsong and Jesus Culture and anybody else, the big one was The Lion Roars, or something about a lion. Living on the inside, roaring like a... No, that one doesn't make any money anymore. The point is, it got bundled up and sold because it's like one of the top 20 worship songs 8 years after it was actually written. and it makes money for investors. That's contemporary Christian music, which frankly, it sounds like it is being produced from AI because it is about as soulless. I'll bet there's contemporary Christian worship music that's been written by a robot. Betcha. Because why not? And I can hear pastors justifying it just like they justify playing Jesus Culture and Hillsong. If it's good, what difference does it make? Well, here's a difference that it makes. We're replacing humans. Worship, by the way, Christian, that's only something that human beings can do. Now, in a sense, rocks and animals worship God in that they reflect the creative mind of the Creator and His potency. But only we can express and give glory to our Creator, and we're displacing that, and it just doesn't seem to matter because we human beings seem to be disposable because we've got artificial intelligence. Scary. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.